Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Muscle and the Hustle podcast, which we are open to new names because there is zero muscle, zero hustle, and a lot of deep, deep shit. We are thanking everybody for tuning in. The response to the podcast has been fucking phenomenal. Really, really appreciate it. Big, big love. Me and Mickey are drilling this every single week, so make sure you continue to tune in. We will dive into any topics. As we've highlighted, anything you want us to deep dive into, please just say or give us a nudge, because one, it makes it more direct to you. Two, we know it's making an impact. And three, we are running out of ideas. It's been 3 years, and I've got all the in-person topics lined up, and they're great. We're going to do them next week, and it's going to be epic. You're going to love them. They're in-person podcasts. These are always the fire ones, so be very prepared for this shit to get leveled up for a couple of weeks. We're going to shoot a couple back-to-back. You will love them. We're going to go over porn. We're going to go over in-depth topics on... I know it sounds nuts. We're going to go in-depth topics on marriage. We're going to do relationships. We're going to do darkest points, but in-person, I want it to be emotional. I want to be passionate, so it's hard to do that over Zoom. It's like having a wank versus having real sex. It's not the same. Look, one topic I wanted to dive into was... It actually relates quite a lot to what happened to me today, and I think you'll relate to this quite a bit, Mickey. Mickey, if you'd like to say hello, because I've not let you say
hello. Hello. What happened to you today? I don't know. This is your surprise.
Your mic is very, very muffly, so it is. Jesus.
Is it bad? What there?
She's muffly enough. She's muffly. I'm sure the listeners are going, oh, Jesus, hey, what's going on? Hey. Maybe it's just, hold her a wee bit close, hold her a wee bit far.
Hello.
And then move her further away.
Hello.
That's probably better.
I don't know. Maybe it turned up a wee bit too loud, but we'll sort it out. I'm in Oma, so I'm away from the actual podcast desk today because it's the start of Freshers and it's fucking getting a wee bit. Next few days are going to be very hairy. I'm in Roscommon tonight, Belfast tomorrow, Belfast Monday, Belfast Tuesday, Derry Wednesday, and a day off on Thursday.
So hard shifts, hard life.
Hard life, very hard life. So what happened to you? I don't even know what you're going to say here.
So we went out for, I brought my ones out for dinner last night. Whenever I'm home, I always bring them out for a bite to eat. So yellow heifer, great feed, great grub. But anyway, regardless of that, went out, and me and my sister were talking about how she said she wanted to get up and become like a morning person, and she was saying she wanted to do this.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people feel like this, and I definitely was the opposite of that for a long, long time period. And I really highlight this to people. Like, I would be sleep in, I would stay up late, I would still do all my work, and my business was still building. But I don't know if anyone else feels like it, but I feel like when I sleep in or I lie in, one, I'm in more of a rush, and two, I already feel like I fucked up for the day. I don't know if other people feel that. Maybe it's like the self-improvement guilt. That shouldn't be how you'd feel, and I really want to highlight that. But one thing she was saying is that, you know, it affects her. And I think the reason it affects people is because if you tell yourself you're going to get up early and then you don't, you've just broke a promise to yourself. And I feel like that then reflects in other areas of your life, because your word doesn't mean anything. So, for example, she said she was going to get up at 6:30 on Saturday and go train, and we were just chatting back and forth. So I rang her at 6:15 because I'm like her fucking alarm clock. And I was like, well, you up? You come to the gym? And she was like, lie on. And she wasn't sure. Yeah, I'm up. And then she texted me at 8:00 going, just awake. I'm just going to walk the dog. And I was like, we were just chatting about dinner. And then we were just chatting over dinner, all of us. And I was like, I feel like one of the reasons she was talking about, you know, building her confidence up in camera, stuff like that there. And I was like, one of the reasons that is affected is because of what you done this morning. That flows into every area of your life, and it's how you do the small things. And so, for example, this morning we agreed we would get up early, gym, and go for a dip. And I was like, if you do the same thing repeatedly, you promise yourself and you repeatedly break it. It's like if you tell yourself you're going to diet, you're going to lose the weight, get in shape, and then 2 weeks in you break, it shows not just lack of discipline, but it shows lack of belief in yourself, lack of confidence, lack of follow through. And then I feel like this evers out into everything you do, because you know you'll easily join things and quit. Quitting becomes a habit the more you do it.
Yeah.
So then this morning I was like to her, she woke up and she was not keen on the dip. It was a shite day. It's cloudy. It's drizzly. And I was like, we just had this conversation yesterday. If you do not do it today, you're never going to do it. So stop telling yourself that you're going to do it and beating yourself up. So then all of a sudden the accountability works. She came for the dip and she felt unbelievable after. But it's one of these things where I hear like a lot of people wreck their confidence by not sticking to their own word, whether that's going to bed, really simple one. I'm going to go to bed tonight at 10. Then movie's quite good. It's 5 to 10. You know you should turn it off, but you're like, sure, what's half an hour? And then before you know it, it's 11 o'clock. You know, yeah. You're getting up the next day, rush, you've missed your gyms. It flows in. And I feel like these small promises we break to ourselves are what define not just our confidence, but where we go in life. And I feel like that is really it. And it's not about following through. Like, I hate this. Like, it's not about promising and sticking to it when you feel like it. It's when you don't feel like it. That's the most important time. Like, that is, you shouldn't be doing it if it's easy. Like, there's no way making a promise. You don't make a promise for things that are easy. I'm going to make you breakfast in the morning. You don't promise that. Oh, I'm going to go dipping in the morning because it's fucking really tough, right? I promise you that. You stick to your word. You stick to your promise. Otherwise, you're just wind. There's no point in even speaking about it because it's not happening. And then that's when I feel people don't believe your word. Whereas when I say I'm going to do something, I've convicted myself that I'm going to do it.
Yes.
And I don't always want to do it. By fuck, I do not want to do the Wim Hof stuff we've signed up to. I really don't. I really, really don't. I'm scared of it. Like, I know that's going to be really frustrating. And people be like, oh, that's his. No, it's not. It's not. Like, I couldn't be arsed getting to the point where today it was dirty. It wasn't what I wanted.
Where was it?
Went in between, around Restrava.
Oh, right.
Slipway. And, it, like, in first step in the water, sludgy,
yeah,
cold, low tide, every reason not to, hassle getting in and out. And the thing is, see, after it, you feel incredible. But more importantly, I'm not worried about that. It's the discipline of doing it when you shouldn't. It's like, for example, like, it's like the small things people don't see. It's like, I told myself about 5 years ago, I wouldn't litter. I was just like, I just don't do it. And it's so easy. Like, I was driving home this morning, pack of chewing gum, chewed up, spotted in my wee, you know, like, back into the chewing gum packet like a tramp. I was like, I don't want this in my presence. But I was like, I'm not throwing this out the window. I said to myself about 5 years ago, I don't litter. It's not what I do. So I, Joe, whereas like, sounds odd, but it's again, small habits. It's like, I cut out like porn and shit like that ages ago, and see them small, like, discipline habits. It's not about, for me, it's not about like the cutting out the porn, cutting out the wanking, not all that mindset. It's actually the discipline of sticking to what you said and what you think would be good for you in the long run. You're laughing about that. We'll dive into the porn on a heavier topic. You can tell I haven't watched it in a long, long time.
No, but I know what you mean. Even then, it's holding yourself a non-negotiable, and yes. and if you do slip, it's not, never have two bad days. You know, Standards. If you, after when it becomes 2 days in a row, then it starts becoming a habit, and then the habit of yourself is that you will, like, everybody knows a quitter, and if you become a quitter, it doesn't matter what the thing is in life, be it the gym, be it. Everybody knows the guy in the gym who doesn't push out that last rep. And they go, well, that's me, I'm done. And you're like, well, you're technically not done. Like. Or someone who wants to go and gets tough in any sort of a way goes, well, I'm out. They just like the easy things. And that can breed in every way of life, from relationships to business to fucking everything. You know, everybody... No, what do they say, that the gym sessions that you don't want to do are the ones that
count for two,
and they are. No, it's the hard days. It's like any person listening to this has ever done pre-season training. No, the in-season training is a fucking gift. The games are a gift. It's the pre-season that's the killer. It's like when you were doing your prep for the competition. Like that's the hard part. You know, getting on stage is the fucking the kind of. Prize at the end, you know.
Yeah, definitely. The battle is won in the hours of training prior, not in the that saying of
like, say, goal setting too. Like, if you set yourself goals that are too easy to hit, you're giving yourself I hit all my goals, but you're looking at them going, realistically, like, you were always going to hit them goals because you didn't challenge yourself. Like, I know cold dipping for me would be a massive challenge. It's something I will do at some stage.
It's fucking tough.
It's probably something that I won't like. Then I don't think you're meant to like it.
You don't. Nobody likes it.
But I think the knock-on effect, you know, I'll just say myself, you know, everybody says about the energy rush, whatever. You know, I will decide myself if that works for me. But it's something that I really don't want to do internally. But I know they're the sort of things that you get more out of, if you get me.
Yeah, see, the problem is I think a lot of people are actually put off it now because some people actually make it like their whole personality. It's like the problem is I feel with a lot of things, people turn into the you're now the morning person, you're now the C dip guy, you're now the gym guy, and your personality is literally bodybuilding. And I feel like people get very lost in this one dimensional approach, whereas like it's a part of your personality, it's the whole thing. It's a joke I put up on Instagram a long time ago when I got a hassle for it. I goes, if your personality is the hack squad, I goes, it's not a personality. I was like, yeah, that's actually embarrassing. And I was like, these people that live for the hack squad every week. And this is coming from somebody who's done it. And on top of that, has also been on the other side. Like, it's like, I went to a bodybuilding course before. And they were like, look, we're just going to do some introduction. And we want you to stand up. And we want you to say one thing, one hobby that you have outside bodybuilding. And it can't be anything to do with fitness. And like, everybody struggled, even me at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not healthy. That is not good. No. Like, that's not what you want. Long term, like your life, it's a part of you. It's not everything. And then the problem is, see, when you're so independently attached to your identity, like a really good example is like, I think without sounding odd, this is probably one of the reasons why people struggle so much. It was one of the reasons I struggled so much coming out of this fire service. My identity was I was a firefighter. That was who I was. I was introduced as that. You're introduced as a DJ. If I lose my ability to lift weights tomorrow, who am I? And I feel like that is a hard shift for a lot of people in a mental mind frame. And that's why, Joe, when you ask people, oh, so what do? People go automatically to their job. I ask them, I'm like, tell me about you. I don't want to know just about your work. If your work isn't your passion, don't tell me about it. Tell me about your dog. Like, usually what comes to mind is stuff like that first. And I feel like that's very important. But your identity is so multidimensional. It's like, really good example is like, my stuff that my like the way I go on, some people be like me on Instagram, oh, do you know, I haven't seen you go on like that. And I'm like, because that's the way I go on around my family and my sister. I'm not that energetic all the time, but the thing is, that is a part of me.
Yeah,
it's not a show. It's just how I, like, for example, how you act around your parents and your friends, two different people, but you're the same person. You just crank the dial to what level you're working, and that's all I've done with a gram as of late to an extent. But it's very, very interesting that like we're such complex individuals on every level. You know, it's a very interesting dynamic. But I feel like it's one of the things that people do back themselves in their corner, and then they go, I can't do this, or it's not me. You know, the cold water's not for me, or all of it's for you. You just decide what you want from your life. And if you don't want that, don't do it. And don't feel stressed. Don't feel guilt about not getting up early. I feel like that's all really, really important. Whereas other people get locked in and think this is the only thing you can do, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's like everything, you know, not everything is something for everyone. You know what I mean? Like, being in ridiculously good shape all year round isn't for everyone. You know, being like CrossFit isn't for everybody. You know, drinking alcohol or being sober isn't for everybody. You know, people, I think a lot of people do jump on these kind of bandwagons and think, going, oh, I have to do cold water plunges now. Or I have to do sauna 5 days a week now. Or I need to do this because this is what, you know, people do. I need to get up at 5 a.m. I think a lot of time you just find what works for you and what can enhance what you really do and do it. And then sometimes them things are going to feel like shit. You know, and they're probably the things that are going to help you the most. Like, if you, in your life, if you don't have enough hours in the day, in your head, that's probably not the case. There probably is enough hours in the day. It's just as Tony said, you could sleep in the morning to 9 or 10 or 8, and then you could be going to bed at 12, but the last 3 hours before bed, you're watching Netflix, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then if your complaint in life is I need more time to do X, Y, and Z, well then there you're gonna have to look about getting up at 6. So you're getting up 2 hours earlier, and then you're going to bed a wee bit earlier at night, you're getting a better night's sleep. You know, I think people in general might blame things easier than take accountability. And I think if you look at the people in life that are maybe a bit more successful or maybe looks like they have it figured out a bit more, they're probably people that have a lot of accountability in their life and hold themselves accountable for their own shortcomings. I think, in a way, I think there's a trait. Like, they're
regardless,
not.
I know where you're going. It's, I've read, I was listening to stuff very recently, and it was like, regardless of what happens, if you take ownership, even if it wasn't your fault, you will come out a better person. So, for example, like, you getting annoyed and saying, oh, Joe, you know, I arrived late and it made me late for work and now I've got disciplinary because, Joe, you know, there was a car crash, I wasn't prepared for it. Like, make sure you say I wasn't prepared for it. You should have left earlier.
Yeah.
Like, you can blame the car crash and that was a one-off. You didn't leave early enough because you didn't factor that in. It's the same as, like, if a relationship breaks down and people go, oh, it just wasn't the right one. That could have worked, but you're not finding anything to work on yourself. And the thing is, if somebody does blame themselves a lot, it can be very destructive if you don't use it right. But if you use that as self-critical to a better extent and you actually improve upon it, I don't ever see that as a bad thing. I think that the problem is a lot of people try and almost self-soothe themselves rather than, like, I will always try and take a harsh truth, even if it's not true. Like, my one say I'm super too much, but the character that's built for me is not a bad thing at all. And the thing is, you'll always improve that way. Whereas a lot of people, not a lot of people, like, I'm not preaching at all. Like, I used to be like this. I used to be very much like, yeah, I take responsibility, but then I would almost give myself, without realizing it, like, excuses around it. And then yeah. I'd be like, oh, well, like, you know, I worked late last night. That's a reason for me not to get up. That's like me, like, giving myself, like, a really good, valid reason. And I'd be like, this is a really good example. I'd be like, oh, like, I'm training really hard in the gym. Like, I only got 6 hours because I was working last night. I could probably use that extra hour. That's really important because muscle built my business. No. I said I get up at 7. Keep your word. That is the sort of key thought process. And since I've changed that in my life, I do feel like everything else has really dived in. Even from last year, I think the conviction in my voice when I say stuff like that, I feel like I talk from a place of, like, I've been in one of the worst states I know anyone to be in mentally, physically, like, just in a bad spot. But it's one of them ones where, like, it's allowed me to take ownership for anything that was off. I would be like, oh, I'm too busy. There's this. I couldn't prioritize it. That was all my choice. Even if it doesn't feel like it's your choice. It's like when people go, oh, well, like, I'm not going to pick a restaurant. You pick. That is still a decision. You've decided to put the choice in somebody else's hands. That is still a decision. As much as you don't want to admit it, you're just not willing to take the balls to actually make.
Well, that's normally, and something like that, they don't have the conviction to go, you know what, I'll pick the restaurant, I'm picking where we're going, I'll pick the time. No, a lot of people are like, oh, just you decide, or no, you can decide, I don't know what I want, you can decide. Or that's because they're afraid to stand by their plans or stand by and go, you know what, I like this restaurant, this is a good restaurant. And they end up going and they're, you know, it's a bit having a bit of balls to actually, you know, hold put yourself out there and make a decision, because decision making isn't for everyone.
As a male, you're better, like, for example, if you can't decide what to do, you're better picking something, because it's a very unattractive trait, indecision. I know that personally, because
massively. And even there, it would be when people talk about, like, you know, traits and loved ones and girlfriends, like, one of the things that winds up people most is, oh, I'm hungry, but I don't know what to eat. And then you end up spending fucking an hour to work out what you want to eat. What you want to eat. And then a lot of people, like, would say, oh, that fucking does my head on, or I don't know what to wear, is the other one.
I would have been worried, like, that with food.
Yeah. But then again, yeah, but your food, like, you, because you're normally very, like, measured in your food, it's a wee bit, there has to be a wee bit more thought put into it, rather than two people going out for a meal at night. That's like, they're not like, no, they don't need to be worrying about macros or whatever that much. There's a lot of indecisiveness, I think, in the world, and a lot of people, it's like a pass the buck mentality.
Yeah. You know, if I'm not making the decision, it's not on me if it goes wrong.
Exactly, and I'm probably the opposite of that. I like to be the decision maker, because then I can go, you know what, that was fucking shite, hold my hands up, that food was terrible, my bad. I don't mind that, whereas other people would be riddled with guilt. But if you work in a business where you have to be a leader of some sort, like, you're never going to get everything 100% right 100% of the times. And that's what a good leader does. A good leader learns and evolves. So the next time when you're making decisions, you know what, we're not going back to that restaurant. If I'm going to leave this time, we have to leave this time to be here at that time. Say there's loads of traffic, get in the hills, you go, right, so the next time we're going this way, we'll leave a wee bit earlier, because you learn, you evolve. Same as life, and same as fucking everything you do. But you have to be open to that, and you have to be open to, you know, new things and new challenges. And, you know, it's one of those kind of things where, as you said, it's a trait. It's a trait, I think, well, I'm pretty sure that it would be a good trait to have if you're a decision maker and you make decisions with conviction. You know, I think I'm pretty sure that females and males would like that too. Unless two people are very much, but then they probably clash if you were dating a girl that's very much, I'm a decision maker, you're a decision maker. I'm sure that would be a bit of a tight one. Like,
a lot of the time, I also highlight to people, I'm like, with business, I always say, like, it's usually not a business problem. It's usually an indigestion or indecision problem that kills a business. That's usually what it is. It's lack of decision, lack of moving forward because of clarity. Usually, a lot of the time, your decision-making problems, I've read a book on it. It's called Little Black Book of Decision-Making. Very good. It helped me a lot.
Yeah.
You're better making a decision at being wrong, because by the time you actually fuck about, you'll actually make the worst decision. And if it's ever a 50-50, just call the 50-50 and pick one, because you're not going to make things better. It's like last night, I was in the restaurant. We were in a restaurant, and I was like, right, there's beef and reef, which was steak and haddock. And I was like, that's very different. Oh. Or I was like, will I get the stir fry? And I was like, how hungry am I, right? And I just went straight. I was like, right, 50-50. I was like, right. And I just goes to myself, stir fry is probably a bit more risky. I was like, you're always going to be fine with steak. Job done. Boom. Move. Versus you can spend 30 minutes deciding between. You're not going to know because you've not had both. So what the fuck are you wasting energy for? And then the thing is, the more time you spend on decisions like that, that is all draining your energy. Like, there's a reason Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, like, these people wear the same clothes. There's a reason you'll actually notice that I wear quite a large amount of black now, and I have for the last 12 to 18 months. It's something I got taught by a mentor. It was like, take the decision of what clothes you're wearing out of your day, or out of a meal, or out of a date, and you will notice that you save that energy, and as long as it's solid. But, like, that's why you will notice a lot of the time I just wear black t-shirts on mentor events or nights out now. It takes a lot of the hassle out. Now, don't get me wrong, I love a funky shirt or whatever, but it's one of them things where, like, having that safety net is nice. And it's the same when we work there. Like, I know when I get up, I've got gym outfits lined out for, like, the week. And people be like, that's extreme. But I'm like, I know what I'm wearing. Like, not every single, but I'm like, there's my vests. Just grab any of them. They're fine. Any short, there's fine. There's no worry. Versus the more decision you give yourself. That's why I love, do you ever go into a restaurant and it's either a set menu or it's like, there's chicken, there's steak, there's fish, that's it. Like, that's what I love, because you're like, well, that just takes away all the hassle. See a big, massive menu. First thing I think is there's no way everything on the menu is good.
I was about to say that. You can't be a master of 100 dishes or 60 dishes. I'd rather see 6 good dishes, or same as a cocktail list, 5 or 6 good cocktails. You don't need fucking 10 different varieties of daiquiris, or 10 different varieties of mojito, or 10 different varieties of martinis. Just do 4 or 5 things really good. The same as fucking life. You know, everyone knows the kind of sketchy person who plays so many different sports or does so many different things, but they never really master any of them. And they pretty much then just start to resent them all because they're doing that many different things in their life. You know, instead of, like, just mastering something.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's one of the things where, like, for me, you have to lean in on that side of things. If you don't, with anything, I feel like, I was talking to a client about this recently, and he was balancing quite a large amount of things. He's a really good friend, and we were just chatting about it, and he's trying to balance work, trying to balance family, trying to balance a new relationship, trying to balance a career change in the work and a social life. And I was just like, look, I know you're wanting to push business, I know you're wanting to push this, but I was like, you cannot push everything at once. You're like, balance is a myth, as we've highlighted, but it's, as I said in the last podcast, like, your energy has to go more in one direction to get progress in that area. That's why, like, new relationships work, and longer you're in them, if people don't put an effort the day down, or, you know, if people start getting too involved with work, that's a new area there that they're not used to balancing. So life is forever this game of, like, slow, like, I always use the bath analogy, as I've used before, you know, all the taps. And it's just the water is your time, and you've got 8 taps around you, you'll know it. But it's just this constant adjusting the taps to try and keep yourself sane, keep yourself happy.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't like the word happy. I don't believe it. Like, really, you should be trying to be happy all the time. I believe content is the better word. To be content, because you know yourself, you can feel off kilter. You know, oh, I've been working. Like, I felt like it around the app launch there. After the first 10 days of the app, I was like, I am way too much work. I'm home. I'm not talking to anybody. And I was like, this needs to dial down. Hire another staff member. Hire this, hire that. And slowly dial it back and then dial in the other areas up just to recalibrate myself. The problem is, people don't start recalibrating, or as we said there, they don't take ownership or make the decision. They almost pass the buck, you know, like,
yeah,
oh, like, I'm overweight because of emotional eating, or I'm overweight because of this or X or Y, or it's easy because you don't have kids, or you don't have 2 jobs, or you don't have cancer in your family. That's completely fine, but that is still you force feeding yourself down the throat and justifying to yourself a reason for you not to be there. And I it doesn't mean that it's that, like, I didn't have an easier path. I may have an easier path. Like, definitely probably did. Like, moving job. Like, I worked full-time in the fire service, and yes, I worked part-time lifeguard and built my coaching business while doing that with my auntie had cancer. But I wasn't paying for 2 kids to grow up and didn't have a mortgage over my head, so I could take maybe a risk quicker with moving to coaching. But then I had my other challenges. You have your challenges. I have mine. Everybody has these unique challenges, and they come at different time points. They'll all come at once, then they'll fuck off, then they come back. But it's just making sure you go, there's somebody in my position that is going where I want to go, and they're doing it regardless.
Yes, but it's like people, when they look at that guy in the gym who's jacked, and you have people that look at him and go, fuck, fair play to him, he's put in some work. Then you have people looking and go, oh, he's on steroids.
I love the people aren't going to love this, but I love the Andrew Tate talk on like the jacked people, and I think it's very good. And he goes, like, it nothing happens by accident. Like a jack person doesn't, you don't go up to a jack person, so he must just fucking go, how'd that happen? And they go, I don't know. It just no. They went to the gym, they worked out for years, and that's how it happened. If you want a business that goes really well, yes, there will be the odd overnight success, but that's probably from years of work prior. A good marriage takes years of work. Everything takes years of work. So you have to decide where your time goes. Time is your most valuable asset.
Yeah.
And people forget that every second that goes by, you're scrolling, you're wasting, you're listening to shit, you're not training, you're sleeping in, whatever you're doing, and this sounds a bit hardcore, that is you giving your time away. That is you wasting time. And that, as much as you don't want to admit it, that is, you're not getting it back, it's gone, and you could have learned, for all the hours you've spent scrolling, you could have developed a skill, you could have made better connections, you could have got better dating, you could have had more sex, you could have had more money, you could have had a better family life, you could have just more peace of mind and be a better, well-rounded person, you could have had a skill. But it's one of these things where we force feed ourselves, oh, well, everybody's on their phone. No, they're not. Not everybody has social media still. Like, it's one of these things where, yes, that's unique, that's different. But, like, I have app blockers. I'm never on the cunt. It's a fucking toxic field. And that's from somebody who's personal Instagram right now. And if you came from Instagram and you're listening to this, it's not a case of, I just believe that it's great if you're creating and you're making money off it, but if you're consuming, and don't get me wrong, there is a lot, like, I really do love my page right now. I feel like it gives humor. I feel like it gives a fuckload of value. You're a learner at creatine, BCS, but there's very few value points that you get now that you're like, I didn't know that. It's rare. It's rare. You can bluff yourself. And I would do this. I bluff myself and be like, oh, I'm trying to get ideas. I'm trying to think of content ideas, or I'm trying to learn. And before you know it, it's long gone. That's why I actually quite enjoy YouTube. Like, if I watch a YouTube video and it's from Jeff Nippert or something, I'm usually learning.
Yeah, like Jeff Nippert. He's very...
very sciencey. Very, like, that's where I see my creatine video. I was like, right, I've studied creatine. I've done loads of research on it. I know it all. I was like, but I guarantee you he's done a recent one he's done one like 7 months ago. And I was like, that's going to be the most recent, up-to-date research thing. It's 20 fucking minutes. It was long. I was like, I'm just going to take the information from this. I thanked him on the post. And I was like, I'm just going to condense this, because I was like, this is really well explained. It just needs shortened so people can take it in. And people were like, oh, do you have no... Like, I was like, I tagged him because it literally was his analogy. The idea of building 4 months of muscle in 5 months muscle in 4. I was like, he's read that research before I did. And the thing is, one, people respect you more because you're giving credit. Two, I'm condensing it in a way that's more easily sort of consumed, in my opinion. And I'm making an impact. But it's one of these things, there's very few pages that are... actually just not trying to get your attention just for watch time now, and that's all they want. And I just feel like it's like the main thing I post when I post a video, I go, is that of value? Like, would I have wanted to see that when I was 21? Would that have helped me in my journey, or is that wank? And that's the reason so many coaches are getting triggered now of me saying an exercise wank. I fully believe that, because don't get me wrong, yes, you can free weight, you can do whatever, but that is the reason I stayed in shit shape for so long. So that's why I'm so passionate about it.
Yeah, but then if people are getting, like, at the end of the day, that you're in the business of attention. You know, you're getting attention and you're giving value. The next person that's slating, you know, the PT or whatever, that's giving you shit, they're in the same business of attention. They're just doing it in a different way and trying to get it on their videos. And then people start getting all, like, fucking, like, angry at people that's doing well. Like nobody would give a fuck about, like, underneath your posts if they weren't getting traction.
A really good example of this is you shouldn't get triggered. If you get triggered by something, that is on you, not that. Really good example. Somebody calls me short. I am short, technically. If you are, the average height's like 5'9", probably, is it?
I wouldn't even know.
It's definitely taller than me, anyway. Right. Yeah, so I am short in technical. Like, it's like when people, and when people be like, oh, do you know what I mean? We actually had this conversation down last night, and we were talking about, like, how, for example, like, people will, like, almost be like, oh, do you not find the veins a bit much, or do you not find the muscle a bit much? And I turn around and I'd be like to people, like, imagine I turn around and goes, do you not find your belly a bit much? Like, there would be up fucking roar. But the thing is, you're stating facts about me, I'll state a fact about you. And the thing is, yet society has dictated that one is good and one is bad. And the thing is, it's the same with, like, if you turn around to somebody really tall and you say, oh, fuck, you're a big one, and he's like, you can tell it annoys him because he's used to it. But the thing is, that shouldn't annoy him. That's on him. That's not on other people. That's just their perception. And the thing is, it's like a really good example is we had a win posted in our mentorship the other day that somebody made 50 grand in a day, which is a bit fucking metal. And
Jesus.
It was quite a large amount of money. And it was massive. And I was like, look, that's huge. I was like, that is insane. That's really good work. And I had to put in a video because one or two clients were immediately like, oh, Joe messaged me being like, what the fuck and all. I'm not. And I was, the only reason you're triggered by that is because you want that. And I was like, there's no other reason for that.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's just really easy for me to reset this. Why is that frustrating you? And they're like, well, I'm working harder. No, you're not. You'd be making 50 grand. You need to be working harder for longer. Oh, but they're easier. No, see, you're force feeding yourself excuses. And the thing is, it's like, initially, I don't know if you were like this, but I come from like a very middle to, I would say, lower income family. And when somebody would have drove by me in a Ferrari 12, 15 years ago, I would have went, wanker. Like, no reason why, or drug dealer. Drug dealer. Drives by in a blacked out BM, fresh as fuck, drug dealer. Like, that is so negatively reinforced. That does nothing for nobody, and negatively reinforces yourself that you aren't, one, worthy of the money, two, you're trying to justify why you don't have it, and three, you're almost condemning somebody who has it. So you will never do well on a money aspect. It's the same as if you see somebody in shape, right? And your immediate reaction is roids. It doesn't matter if that person is on roids or not. You haven't went, fuck, they work hard. Like, really good example is I just always turn around that. Like, I give everybody the benefit of the doubt because I'm like, you don't know how hard that person's working. And me justifying to myself where I'm at versus them by roids or genetics, although that could be 100% true, does me no
good.
It's like turn around and going, oh, well, his dad was rich. Shut the fuck up. That doesn't use, like, don't get me wrong. Yeah, fair enough. You're
it's different of the dad. Like, it's definitely you didn't earn that Ferrari. You just were gifted it. But if your dad was rich and you started a company and the company's successful, it's like. I get it all the time with DJ, and like, Bryce be like, oh, how'd you get this gig? Where'd you get that gig? This and that. And like, how do you do that? No. And you're just like, it's just work. It's just like, you're not willing to put in the effort that I put in. Like, you just aren't. And you'd be saying to them, oh, can you help me out? But they're all looking something like, you probably get that a lot too with coaches. They're looking the secret sauce. They're looking the fucking, the cheat code. And you're like, well, no, it's just fucking hard work over a long period of time.
And then
they ask you, oh, can you open these doors for me? Can you open that door? And you're like, well, no, because there's no point me putting you there when you haven't earned being there. You have to earn to be there. You have to build your way to be there. Yeah, it's like getting invited to the fucking prestigious event. You could go as a plus one with someone, but getting invited is a bigger deal. And I get so many people like asking me, oh, can I play in your gigs? Can I play in this gig when you're running these street parties and you're doing this and you're doing that? You got a boy text me the other day going, can I play at your gig in Australia? I'm like, no, man. That's just not how it's going to happen. Now, you have to, there'll come a day where I might go to you and go, will you play at my gig? But for you, like for someone like, I don't know the fella from Adam, and he's probably a nice kid now, but I'm like, for you to come to me and ask that, when I'm like, I don't know who you are. Two, I don't see you supporting anything me or the boys have ever done in the past. So why would we reward you with that and give you a leg up when you're not willing to put in the work and the effort? When there's loads of people out there putting in so much effort and grinding so hard, like young up and coming, like I have young up and coming boys would hit me up almost every day now, just with questions. And I fucking love that. But it's not like they're not asking me to open doors. They're asking me questions like going, how do you think I should approach this club? Or do you think I should make more music or more mixes? Or do you think I should stop doing birthday parties because I want to do more clubs? And I'm like, yes, they're the right questions to be asking, rather than someone go, here, man, I'm thinking of stopping doing birthday parties. Can you get me gigs in this club, this club, and this club? And you're just like, fucking hell, like.
100%. It's not.
I'm sure you get that. Like, you probably get that a lot more than me with other coaches.
Oh, fuck the mentorships. Like, it's one of these things where, and I'll say it all the time. I'm like, people be like, oh, well, I posted for like 90 days straight. And I'm like, bro, try 3 years. I'm like, I turn around to people and they'll be like, oh, do you know, I've only got 5 clients, so I'm paying you a month for doing. I'm like, bro, I coached for a year for free. Like, you have to eat shit at the start. The problem is, Dana White highlights it very clearly. And don't get me wrong, I've been the exact same. I've been there. I've been that mindset. And so I'm not preaching. I'm not. But you need to realize that you just need to build a work ethic that it's going to work. But Dana White highlights it, and he just goes, he would love to be born in this era, because he highlights his era, although people will say it's easier to grow now than ever. People don't have work ethic. It's not that people think compared. That's one of the main reasons. He just goes, if you have real non-stop work having one area, you will run people over. Yes, there's more people trying to be content creators than ever. Yes, there's more people trying to be bodybuilders. Yes, there's more people trying to launch businesses. The only ones that succeed are the ones that have the work. There's no different. People go marketing strategy, look, the right location for a restaurant. That is all work. You get luckier the more you work. And the thing is, see anybody listening to that right now and almost is like, nah, that's not true. You're in that other mindset, and that needs to fucking flick. That is not serving you.
No.
If I turn around and I go, right, like I know I'm going to struggle with the Wim Hof stuff. I know that cold water's going to be shit. I know the Ur Dryant's going to be shit. I don't want to do it. I don't feel like I can do it. I am going to fucking give it a go. I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to fucking do it. There's no
spots.
And the only difference between me and the person to my left, whenever I'm out there, doesn't matter how long we're out there, doesn't matter how many years he's put in training, there is no difference. It's just, will I quit? No. So you're just going to stick the fuck out. You can complain. You can do whatever you want. Do not quit. But it's one of these things where you feed yourself them excuse, and then you're almost justifying yourself why you're not in that position. It's like whenever people go, oh, but like my mom and dad, you know, they were overweight, or they were this, or they were that. You're justifying to yourself them preconditions. And we do precondition ourselves to almost eat our own shit then. I've done that where I'm like, oh, do you know, like I am going to struggle with women because I'm smaller. Do you know, that limits to me to what? Like, no, like that is just me force feeding shit. And it's the same with like, if you turn around and we put ourselves in these boxes, these identities of who we are, what we can achieve. And the thing is, we set the limit, and it's on everything. Like, I never thought, if you turn around to me at 17 and you goes, you're going to have a multi-million pound property business that's scaling towards 8 figures. You're going to have a fitness business worth 7 figures. You're going to have multiple other income streams worth 6. And you're also going to be in cracking nick. You're going to have a really good family life. You're going to work whenever you want. You're going to travel the world. I would have went, catch a fucking grip. That is, like, me saying that right now sounds like make-believe, but that is my life. But the only reason, and when somebody lives with me or they've been around me for a long time period, they get frustrated because they go, the only reason you're at where you're at is because of work. And they're almost annoyed at it because they're going, this is disgusting. It's like when me and Cheevers lived together, he was like 6 p.m. he'd be shutting off, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm shutting off one business. The other one needs flicked on now. And he's like, oh my God, can we not go for food? And I'm like, no. I was like, I have work to do. Like, I was like, sit, go on yourself there. Like, this doesn't, it's not a case of I'm like, oh, I can't go for food. I'm like, I want to do this. I know where the work pays. And see, the beauty is when you lean in like that, you know this yourself, Mickey. When you lean in with a work ethic like that, whenever you get all the weight off or your DJ career ticked off, you go, fuck, if I worked that hard at that and that paid off, how could it not for the rest? It was a really good example. Is like, whenever my relationship and stuff was breaking down last year, like, I was like, I remember saying this, and I remember saying it very clearly. And I was like, I know X, Y, and Z is my fault. I know this is your fault. But I go, if there's one thing that you know you can bank on me for in every aspect, and I say this to anybody that's in my close circle, I go, I will work that hard at it that I can make it work. I just need time. And I say that, see when I say that, people just go, yeah, that's true. And it's one of them things where then obviously there's differences in terms of like opinion and all that shit. But a case of on my side, like went to therapy, worked on day and night, and I am a different energy, a different person. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the way that went, because now I'm in such a good headspace. But the thing is, when you bring that work ethic, it's like, if me and you goes tomorrow, we're going to open up a coffee shop in Belfast.
Yeah.
It's not, oh, is it going to work? It's going to work.
It's just work,
how many times is it going to fail? Do we need to relaunch? Do we need to put more money in? Do we need a new location? Do we need to get somebody else in? It's not if the fucker's going to work, it will fucking work. And if it doesn't, do we tweak the idea? What else do we do? Why were we, what, or will it work for, even if it failed and it fucked up? Right. What is the lesson from that? And how do we implement it into the next strategy? And it's a case of there's never any failure. Success and failure are not opposites. They're interlinked. They are, you fail before you succeed. It's not, people think it's a right and left turn for failure and succeed. They're on the same path.
Yeah. And that practice, is the practice control failure.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, exactly. It's one of the things where like you need to realize that two roads in your life, the left one, there's no pitfalls, but there's no highs, there's no mountains, there's no lows. The path on the right is full of failures, full of pitfalls, full of valleys. But it's also got the mountain. It's also got the heights. And people will always pick the path on the left because it's less resistance. There's no issue. And that's sweet. And there's nothing wrong with that if you want your life like that. I will take the lows of the highs all fucking day.
Oh, yeah.
The highs are worth it. The highs are worth it.
When you learn in the lows. The lows. You learn, but
the lows do suck, though. It feels like your life's ending.
But if you think about it at all, like all the big billionaire entrepreneurs all. Businessmen, they've all went bankrupt. But the difference between, I think, winning and losing is learning. And I think that's a trait that most of them have, is they learn from their failures and they know that it'll never happen again.
Yes, taking the responsibility. Yes, yes.
They take responsibility instead of them, like Bezos or whatever, like giving up when they fail, or Richard Branson giving up. Like, no, fuck it, let's go again because I'm not making that mistake again. And they normally never do. Like, rarely the person will go bankrupt twice. Like, Sean Quinn's just released a book. Anybody knows Sean Quinn? He's Quinn's direct and all. I have no doubt in my mind that man's going to make all his money back at some stage. Because there's no way he will fall into the same traps as he did before. Because you learn to move. You know, everybody, be it a relationship, you fall out with a girlfriend or you split up with a girlfriend because you acted in a certain way or you did a certain thing or you two-timed or you did something. If you want to change and be better and never have your heart broken again or never break a heart again, you will adapt, change, learn, and move forward. And that's like, be it in Tony's business, be it my business of DJing, you know, the best people, the business of life, that's, it, look, it's like all you're doing in life is you're failing continuously in small ways and just becoming better. It's like when you learn to walk, you fall forward. Yeah, you fall forward. That's
the Denzel Washington quote. Will Smith.
It's from the same talk as control. Our practice is control failure. Fail forward and fail often. That's what he says. And I agree with that. Like, if you take risks,
that's got to be Denzel.
I think it's not. Is it not? Is it no. not that? Is it not Will Smith? It's the same. It's off the same video, isn't it?
They're probably both saying
gonna,
Will.
It's going to play a song. But I feel off and feel forward. And I think that's a great philosophy to have because, you know, you're never going to get through life, I don't think, without failing at something. You know, be it in sport, be it in life, be it in fucking business, you're going to have many failures and many, you know, problems along the way, but it's how you adapt it. And then once again, that go right back to the start. If you quit, you won't learn because you've given up and you've given in to the failure. Well, you don't. If you go again and try again, that's not really failure, and that's the case because you're still trying. You know, you're still getting up. You're still moving forward. Be it like in fucking Rocky style. You know,
I fucking love that. Like you never fail if you learn. That's really it. And you text me that whenever I was struggling mentally. I was struggling after my race, and everything's breaking down. And I just don't know what I said, but I just remember you. I said I've made a lot of mistakes, and I just feel like it's not right. And you goes, "There's no such thing as a mistake if you've learned from it. If you learn from it." And I was like, "That hit me right when I needed it." And I was like, "This is really helping." And the next thing I had heard was, and it's a bit of a cheesy quote, but it really helped me. And it was like, "When you feel like you've been buried alive, sometimes you've actually been planted for growth. It's just on you, whether you grow, whether you die." And I was like, fucking hell. I was like, that for me, and because the person talking to me was like, when you're buried alive, there's no light. There's not a bit. He was like, that's when you feel everything's dying, but that's when you're going to grow the most.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good one. That's fucking very true. You know, when you're at your lowest, as long as there's still breath, you've still got breath and your heart's still beating. The only way is up.
4%.
Aye, so we're 45 minutes now, baby.
Lighter up. I'm at fucking 4% battery. 3% on the Mac. It's going to die. Make sure you like, you share to your story. I can't speak. Share to your story. I'm under pressure. Share to your fucking story again. And share it one more of a fucking time because we need all the shares we can get.
Cheers, guys. Let's chat these next week.